It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickle of death to be with you this Saturday and every Saturday. I just looked at my producer for the first time this morning. Where'd you get that hat?
Got it down in Surprise, Arizona, as you can see.
No, I can't see that far.
I forgot this is a room of guys whose eyes don't work.
Yeah, that's right. I think you maybe should have left. It was a surprise, all right. Wow.
Is that a porta potty?
I don't know what that
on
is.
On his head?
It's kind of a weird looking hat. We have Patrick Fisher as our guest. He's the waterfowl pro from Rogers, and I'm just tickled to death that he came in the studio here to help us. But also in the studio, which is beyond help, is my co-host, Mark Tobin. Improper potty training when he was a baby, I think, and Greg Thompson.
You talk about improper potty training. That's the epitome of it right there.
That's right. Yeah, that's for sure.
Depends on how you look at it.
He pointed at Greg Thompson, so that's
I was potty trained. It's just when my sister babysat for me, she would drop me on my head.
I understand.
And it did damage.
Yes. We'll go down that. You know, we could get Dr. Safer back on. Oh, he's gone, isn't he? But if we could analyze you a little bit.
I remember listening to Marshall Saper one year, and a little old lady called in, and she had a problem because her husband was diddling with the animals.
That is a problem.
That's a problem.
Yeah. I remember listening one time, somebody called in and said, "Do you think I'm crazy?" And he said, "Yes, I do."
There is truth in the media at one point, huh?
Oh, them days are over with.
You know.
Them days are over with. You know, it used to be truth in the media, but them days are all over with. But the political side of this, we stay out of that pretty well, don't we?
While the mics are on.
yeah, right. Don't go down that road. You lose half your listeners. Well, we only got three anyway, so don't make any difference. So, but half of three is one and a half listener. Tobin, what's the lawn business doing? I was thinking about you're in kind of a drought area here. We've had some rain.
Oh, it's bad. I mean, if you're not watering the grass, it is crunchy brown right now, not growing at all. Yeah, it's hurt our mowing business for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe a third of the lawns that we do now are needing to be mowed. So, yeah, it's pretty grim. I mean, we need rain in a bad way.
Is it crabgrass city?
Yeah, a lot of grassy weeds, snuggrass, crabgrass, barnyard grass. I've probably seen more barnyard grass than I do crabgrass. But
what do you spray that with?
There's a real good product. It's called All-in-One. You can get it at most of the Westlake Hardwares, and the bigger garden centers will have it. But it's really good. It'll not only take care of the grassy weeds, all of the annual grasses like the crabgrass, barnyard grass, but it also kills nutgrass and broadleaf weeds.
Does it do it slowly?
Yeah, well, the broadleaf weeds, they curl up pretty quick. I mean, within a couple of days, they're curled up. Within a week, they're dead. But the grassy weeds take about a week and a half, 2 weeks maybe. Now, the nutgrass, it stops growing immediately after you spray it.
My buddies have been out fishing on the Missouri River.
Oh.
66-pound blue.
Really?
A 54-pound blue, a 44-pound blue, a 30-some pound, all in one day.
Wow.
Are those edible?
No.
But not out of the river.
Not out of any lake either. No one eats blue cat. I've yet to have anybody tell me they like blue cat other than Mark Tobin, so you consider the source.
Well, I'm not going to go down that road again. You are just out of your mind.
We have beat that horse to death, haven't we?
You're out of your mind.
Yeah. Clinton. I heard a good report out of Clinton. Have you heard anything out of Clinton?
Good and bad. Some hybrids being caught.
Yeah.
White bass are doing pretty good. Crappie, this past week has changed. Oxygen levels have changed dramatically in a lot of lakes, and it's making it a little tougher. And, I mean, who wants to get out in this 90, 100-degree weather and fish anyway? I mean, if you're fishing, it's going to be early and late. But, yeah, it's kind of hit and miss. But I'll tell you, and I got to put a plug in for Toby Lewandowski, Absolute Fishing Guide Service. If you want to go out and have some fun, not only is he a great guide, but he's just a great guy. And he fishes multiple lakes in Kansas and multiple species. And he knows electronics. I don't know how he's done so many different things.
Self-taught.
Through his. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But he's had a very jaded career that has done all kinds of different things, including being a male nurse.
Wasn't he a Baptist minister at one time?
He's done everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was a nurse on an air flight.
Yeah, right.
Weren't you a Baptist minister, Mr. Thompson, at one time?
You know, one thing, never mind. I'm not even going to go down that road.
Patrick's looking at you like you are one. But you've known him. Patrick, you've known him for a long time.
I've known him for a little while. I mean, just coming into the store.
His wife stressed me for years.
Yeah, we were. Yeah. I think she's helped a lot of men figure out what they're going to get outfitted for the fall.
I'll tell you what, your wife is good at that. Man, I'll tell you what, my boy went over to get some waders and stuff, and she helped him. Unbelievable.
Hey, we need to explain
her
that.
Knowledge.
When you spend
his wife is the clothing manager over at Rogers Sporting Goods,
we need
and
to explain
she's
that.
Been it's ordering like, me fishing shirts for since they were in the Quonset hut
23 years.
Yeah.
Hopefully she's learned a couple things.
She's damn good at it.
Yeah, she's got it figured out.
Very professional. I'd look at the darn thing. Yeah, yeah. She just really knows her game. A game, you know, the deal. So
yeah, like,
sure.
you don't look good in that.
She'd tell you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's not the right outfit for
That's
ducks.
Not the right.
What's going on at Lake Ozarks? Any fishing?
Yeah, but again, it's oxygen levels have really changed down there, and catfishing is really good. There are crappie being caught, but it's more of a really late thing. I did talk to a guy that was fishing at night under lights on his dock, and did real good. And that's something to consider, you know, fishing at night this time of year, getting away from the heat, and the fish are pretty active this time of year at night. So not just crappie, but bass fishing can be really good too. But
yeah,
it's just no fun out there in that heat.
Could you go target a walleye on that lake right now? Good question.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's definitely. I mean, a month ago I'd say, yeah, no problem. But it's a little tougher now.
Well, they don't quit eating.
No, that's true.
And they're somewhere.
Yeah.
It's just you change your pattern, and nobody likes to change, including
you get comfortable in what you've done that you've had success with, and it could be. Hard to change.
I want to address the oxygen level thing just a minute. I saw a disturbing picture posted a couple of days ago. Folks, right now with this water level and oxygen level so high and the oxygen level so low, if you're going to run trot lines, you're going to run bank lines, run them every 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
The picture was of some fish that had been left on a lot longer, very big catfish. Worse than them dying, if a skier or a jet skier comes through, your lines and your hooks are on the surface now.
Because those fish have floated.
Yeah. So please, if you're going to run trot lines, run them 3 or 4 hours, every 3 or 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. And it's against the law. I mean, you can't just set them and go away for a week and come back, you know, type of thing.
That's absolutely true.
I just don't do it. And the deal, if you're going to set them, and when you're done with them, cut them. What I see on the river is a lot of guys just go off and leave them. The hooks and the lines, and then go home, you know, type thing. So, it's just stupid. You know, just if you're going to be fishing, fish. If you're not, take them up. Not a deal.
Years ago, we had a jet ski or a wave runner, I guess you would call it, Yamaha wave runner. And I had a good friend of mine was down at the lake with us, and he was out running around on the lake, and he didn't know about these trot lines and wondered what they were. And when we told him and we showed him what they are, he got kind of a little freaked out about it and afraid he might get tangled up one. He got home, and the day that we got home from the lake, he was asleep and he had a dream, and he dreamed that he got caught up in one of those trot lines. Mm-hmm. Woke up, there was a pincushion by his bedside that he got in, and he got stuck with the needles off his pincushion.
Wow. Hey, another thing, Truman is lower than it's ever been.
Since impounded, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so what I'm saying is...
It was 11-something over power pool not too long ago.
Now
it's a month ago or a month
5 feet
ago.
Under a full pool. What I'm saying is that place you always went through, you might not be able to go through now, so be darn careful on the lake right now.
Make Joe Falco a little
around.
Money.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah. But,
take care of the lower units. Off. Yeah.
Some funeral companies, too, if you don't watch out.
Yeah, we can do away with fishermen, but
But this is a good time if you want to go out scouting.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh, structure?
Yeah.
It's like Lake Mead where they're finding all the bodies in the cars now down the water so low.
Yeah, right.
And the deal. Well, I don't know what them people are going to do.
Oh.
Oh, I know,
if it don't go to raining and snowing out that way.
Yeah.
Scary. Send Patrick out there. He can bless the place and it'll come back. I know he will.
They need some water bad.
Patrick Fisher is in here with us, and we've been kind of giggling around here a little bit, but you're the waterfowl manager. That's a cool job.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I would think so. What's your podcast? What are you doing on your podcast? You got a podcast going too, don't you?
Yeah. I do it with my brother-in-law.
Is he out of jail?
He pushed me a little bit, so we finally started one in January. It's called Dual Delivery Podcast.
Where do you find it at?
You can go on Spotify or Apple or Google Podcasts, and you can even search Dual Delivery. It'll just pull up our latest podcast.
So. Oh, cool.
Yeah, we just broke down all the NFL predictions and the
what other topics have you covered?
So we've done we did Roe v. Wade, which was a hot topic. So
wow,
you just all over the place.
Yeah, we've done
sex, politics, and religion, huh?
I mean, everything across the board. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Do you get any response back? Hate anybody hateful to you?
Not quite yet, but I tried to. I stay a little bit unbiased and try to state facts and.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't tell the truth.
But it's been fun. We do a lot of sports and, everyday life.
If you recognize that voice, you also do an advertisement for Spotify, don't you?
Yeah. We started doing, that was fun. We started doing commercials or like the ads, unless you're one of the people that got the premium. And you don't have the ads, but
you're the trailer park ad,
and so my voice pops up for Rogers Sporting Goods. We started doing
cool.
It was odd the first time I heard my voice, and I'm like, "Who's that talking?"
Yeah. I've been there every Saturday. I go, "Is that me?"
Yeah.
What's happened to Joe Falco? Is he doing okay out there? Is he getting any boats?
Everybody? Yeah, well, they've got a few. There's a few trickling in, so it's good to go out there every now and then and just see what's going on, see what they've got. And if you are one of the few out there that can afford gas in your boat and you're being able to use it.
Nobody can do that.
Yeah, well, your boat's going to break down. And there's just no better place to take it if you have a problem with your boat than Sportsman's Outfitter Marine there.
You know, I got a guy called me the other day, and his boat's cutting out. He wanted me to diagnose it over the phone. Well, I said, well, go David Hemme. It could be a ground. It could be bad gas. It could be a fuel pump. It could be electrical. It could be all the above.
Yeah,
you know?
Talk to Dave.
And I took that motor of mine out there. I'd been to three different alleged mechanics. He fixed it in 20 minutes, diagnosed it, and it was fixed.
Yeah, they're just nobody better. He's so good.
Good at it.
Yeah, and it's just to go down there, and it's kind of like if you go to Reach Chevrolet and you go in the showroom, open up a car. There's nothing better than new car smell, except new boat smell.
I know something else, but I can't mention it.
Well, there is that. Yeah. But Sportsman's Outfitter Marine, they're out in Belton. It's the last Belton exit, Cass Road exit. They're on the west side of 49 Highway. Good bunch of people.
Good humans, as we say.
To do business with. You got that right.
I really like Joe.
Yeah. He's such a good guy.
I understand he's a terrible shot on waterfowl. Have you ever talked to him about it in detail?
He can hold his own.
Yeah. He shoots 15 feet behind a lot of things. Yeah, he's an animal rightist and really doesn't want to kill one.
Oh, he does.
He does?
He wants to kill him, yeah. No doubt, yeah.
Why does he hate ducks?
Who doesn't?
Oh, yeah.
Who doesn't? Get me up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you're going to pay. Sometimes I analyze myself. I'm constantly going down the road at 4 o'clock in the morning. I go, crawl up underneath them warm covers, put on these clothes.
Well, not to mention all the work during the season.
You know, and the expense.
The crop, yeah, right.
And you go, what? But as soon as you get there, you understand why you're there. You know,
it's kind of like doing this show.
Yeah. It ain't that bad.
Getting up. yeah. getting up. Once I get here, then okay, that's fine.
You know, my dad, he always used to say, so let me get this straight. You hook this fish, you bring it in, you spend plenty of money to fly all over the world, and you let it go. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. You're not right. You're not right in the head.
We come back, we're going to talk about the waterfowl world with Patrick Fisher from Rogers. If you've not been to Rogers, you're the last human to ever walk the face of the earth. And I've been in their store up here at Liberty, Missouri. I used to live in Liberty, Missouri.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I used to know the address, but it went through my brain somewhere and out the backside somehow. And the thing is, you get older, you forget things.
It happens.
Yeah.
I forgot them when I'm young, too, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We're brought to you by HSM. Did you know that, guys?
No.
Did not.
You know what HSM?
Hunting yes. Shack, Montana.
No. Munitions. Now, they've changed their name. It used to be Montana. You're right. You were absolutely on your A game.
They got that low-coil ammo.
Oh, that is the bomb.
It's an orgasmic load to shoot. Shoot it out of a .243. And it's about like hearing a broom pop, you know, and there's no recoil back off the backside. And the accuracy is unbelievable.
It is surprising how little recoil there is.
It's a wonderful load.
Yeah.
And I see Great Guns had some on the shelf when we were in there the other day.
We did.
And very few people. It's not hard to find, but yet it is.
You got to know what you're looking for.
You got to know what you're looking for. Yeah. On the deal. And it's probably going to be a little bit more money, not much. But which do you want, accuracy or do you want to save money? I don't, you know, that's just up to you on the thing. But. And I'm talking pennies difference on a lot of cases, so HSM. We got to take a little bit of a break. This is the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Midwest Outdoors. We are proudly sponsored by Sure Ag. Used to be Sure Grow. I want to take all three of you guys. Well, I can't. Yeah, I would take the producer, too. Take all four of you. Take you to my cornfield and stand around in amazement. I got weed control this year.
Really?
Yeah.
And you know,
and weeds get a resistance.
Oh, yeah.
I've been spraying the same. It's been in corn for, 20-some years, and I've got weed resistance? I mean, I walked down through there the other day, and I went, wow.
Huck, that's awesome.
Especially this year.
Yeah, and it's because the professionalism of the Sure Ag guys. They're the best. I mean, and we've got a lot of farmers listening to the show, and there's three managers that are involved with this. They're at Osborne or Missouri and Savannah and Four City, but they got about 115 years of excellence behind their belt, and they're great humans, you know, and they care. And they come to my farm, and they care. They want to get every square inch sprayed. Their professionalism is off the chart. And I like doing business with professional people, you know. So you guys that are farmers that are having resistance in your weeds or problems with your cornfield, bean field, man, I think I'd get a hold of these guys at Sure Ag. Again, they're located at Savannah, Missouri, Osborne, and Four City. There's nobody like them. I've been around doing this for a lot of years, but there's nobody like them. They're just really, really cool people. So. Proud to be associated with them. I'm glad they're a sponsor with us. So give them a call. Talk to Rich or Paxton or Randy or Jeff at Osborne. You're going to love these guys. I mean, straight shooters, honest, sincere. You know, the professionalism of the batch when they blend it makes a world of difference. I found out the hard way.
Well, with that much experience behind them, boy, that's what you want.
Yeah, with the hay. They're good. I can't do their commercial enough. Between that and Reed Chevrolet, I just love Reed Chevrolet. Bought another one up there.
Yeah, that is a good-looking truck.
And the professional business of those people. This is I think the family's fifth vehicle we bought from them. I plan on buying, if I live long enough, another five.
It's a good-looking vehicle.
Good-looking truck. Really getting some gas mileage in this 22. Better than my V6.
Well, really?
Mm-hmm. But it just... you know what I liked about them? Nobody ever did hassle me. I went in and bought the vehicle and walked out the door, signed the paperwork, and was gone.
It's at least 200 pounds lighter because there's no mud on it.
Yet.
Yeah.
You'll get there.
I'll get there. What the hay.
Yeah, my son bought a truck there, and it was so much fun. You know, the salespeople don't work on a commission, so there's no pressure on them to sell you a vehicle. They just help you pick out one, help you buy one. But we talked. I talked to that salesman for 3 hours about fishing and hunting.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so refreshing.
Yeah, it was cool. And they're good people. They're professionals, and I like doing business with professional people. You know, that's why I like going in Rogers. Talk to Patrick.
That's why I like having you come in there.
Yeah, we giggle and laugh.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah, it is. The first question people are going to ask me, and I'll ask you, and we've already talked about this, but what's the new product? Every year, Duck Hunter's got to have a new product. You know?
Sure. And they're all starting to come in. So, you know, I was thinking, I was up late last night. I couldn't sleep. I'm like, hey, I got to talk about waterfowl hunting in the morning.
Yeah.
So, like Avian X, they came out with their new Power Flight series. So they had some last year. This year it's called, it's got Smart Shot. So it's super neat. It's got, so it's their new, you know, Mojo robotic mallard. Super good detail. What's nice though with the, it'll come with your standard remote like everybody gets, mm-hmm. but you can use your phone to control like variable speeds. Or it's also got a, it'll turn on, it's sound activated, so it's not just sitting there on all the time wasting battery. So if you start calling, it'll turn on. When you stop calling, turns off. So that's kind of neat.
Gotta have that.
A lot of the FA's coming out with a big lineup change, so they're adding on new decoys. We've got
a great decoy anyway.
Yeah, Sitka's dropping a new line this year on some different things.
Yeah,
I liked their turkey stuff was actually really neat.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
With the the tick control stuff.
Mm-hmm. About time.
That stuff will get you.
Now what now? Tick control.
Yeah, it's like, forget the name. Their Ambient series. Is that? Well, there is an Ambient series that's new, but basically it's, you know, a bug shield type, permethrin style built into their clothing.
Finally.
So, especially turkey hunting when you're sitting out there.
Oh, I know, and it's so important.
Well, Sims has had that for quite a while, haven't they? On their
Sims
side.
Does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's super neat, and they did really well with it.
A mosquito control?
Yeah, like built into clothing? A bug style shield type.
Where have you been?
I know, man.
You
been
need
too
that
sheltered.
For the fishing.
I know, right?
Exactly.
Or mowing with those oak mites.
All sorts of new.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, all the new Thermosol products out there. You got to have those on your boat. Yeah.
Oh.
Every time I walk into Rogers, I always stop and say, I need everything in this store.
Right.
You know, I just want to buy everything.
That's my candy store.
Oh.
And it's always an expensive venture for me when
it
I
is.
Go up there.
And actually, what's really exciting is to see AMO coming back in. And I called you.
Yeah,
you left the day after you were in.
Yeah.
And we got what you were looking for. Yeah.
My story of my
you're
life.
You were a day late, right? Dollar
story
short.
Story of my life. What the hey?
Yeah.
What is the deal with AMO? I mean, you guys were stocking up. You
were
doing okay.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, ammunition wise, we probably carry the most in the world.
So. Yeah.
And obviously we took a hit like anybody else with just distribution and, mm-hmm. and demand and supply chain issues, you know, like anybody else. But, I mean, if you came in right now, you would think we didn't have a problem.
Wow.
Maybe had pallets. Maybe SKU wise, like, variations, maybe mm-hmm. not as many options, but I've got pallets of ammunition.
Cool.
So
finally.
I mean, thousands of cases. No problem.
Tell me about this $65 box of shotgun shells, the bismuth one.
Is it
why is it so much? What's so much different?
Right. So there is a couple different ones. My buddy came in yesterday, and me and Shannon were back there and going over, you know, the setup for waterfowl weekend coming up. So, and he goes, "What is this $500 case of ammo?" And I said, but, you know, like, so that one was by Environmental,
okay.
Which is federal owns them now, and Remington.
Uh-huh.
But it's heavy 12, so it's a 12 grade tungsten instead of a steel. So the density's higher, the quality's better, it hits harder, travels farther. I always try to tell people, same with turkey loads, you get 5 rounds in a little box, it costs you $50. And I say, well, that's the cheapest part of your hunt.
Sure.
Yeah, true.
You're walking around with a $2,000 shotgun, $5,000 worth of Sitka gear on. No,
yeah, exactly.
A brand new $70,000 truck, and you're worried about a $50 box of ammo.
Yeah, and here's the reality of the turkey load. You buy a box of 10, and you shoot one, and next year you still got 9 left.
Right, right, know? Yeah.
I mean, if you're a turkey hunter.
But that's where you're seeing, you know, same with bismuth and the quality. It's just, you know, it hits harder.
Well, my buddy Andy, he turkey hunts, and a box of 10 is nothing. That's not unusual for him. Go through that in one morning. He can't hit them. Andy, you shot 3 foot to the left. I did? Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Go ahead.
Is that why Kelly went to a bow and arrow?
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. When is Waterfowl Days?
So our the big culmination is August 5th and 6th, so coming up. So if you came in right now like you guys were in and, you know, we're just everyday trucks, as Steve would say, stack it high and let it fly. It's just, you know, you pack it in there. And that's what's nice, too, is you get, you know, if you want 30 dozen decoys of the same thing, you can get it. So we're building it up. But August 5th and 6th is our big waterfowl event, which kind of sets the tone for the year. That's like our big event. Now, the ad will start August 2nd, which is a Tuesday. So it's a week-long ad. Great sales from clothing to layout blinds to rigs to everything.
Yeah. I talked to a lot of people, a lot of waterfowlers, and also, you know, tell them about the prices that they have on waterfowl days. And they look at me sideways, which they should, but that's a tremendous bargain on an awful lot of ammunition.
Yeah.
And people need to take advantage of it. Yeah. I think, do you limit the cases that people can buy?
We did early on. Yeah. Right now, there's no limit. Now, when waterfowl week comes, depending, because like that, like August 6th, the big day, which has got the food trucks and the vendors and a free country concert. And we added a beer garden this year for the adults.
I'm in.
Got to stay hydrated.
And there's stuff for the kids, too. They got face painting and caricatures and a bouncy house.
What the heck?
We made it more, just family for everybody from all over. But, you know, if we get a ton of people, I'll kind of gauge the ammo. I want everybody to be able to enjoy success and go hunting.
Exactly.
So but for right now we're going no limit. So
Cool. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Waterfowl Day is coming up next weekend, August the 6th.
It'll start August 2nd and go through the 6th.
Not too far away, guys. Thinking about I gauge waterfowl season by all of a sudden my phone starts lighting up. People start calling me. We are brought to you by King City Lumber, kingcitylumber.com. Please go to their website, take a look at their buildings that they offer. If you see something in there that really trips your trigger, give them a call. They're the best people you can use. They're professional. They're master carpenters. They will not leave your place of residence or wherever you build this building until you're 110% satisfied. So if you don't see something in there that you maybe want to tweak, or you see something different, or you want something unique, there's nobody any finer. They'll help you design it, build it. They'll do whatever it takes to earn your business. And Marty and Monty Tunk, some of the finest people I've ever known in my life, and I mean that from my heart. KingCityLumberCompany.com. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. Patrick Fisher is in here with us as the waterfowl manager for Rogers, and Waterfowl Days coming up. And really, the main event is August 6th?
August 6th, yeah. Noon to 6 is our – we do host a free country concert and a stage out there. And we got Alec Davis, Jake Stringer, Hunter Mounts.
Oh, cool.
Ryan Daniel. What? The beer garden for the adults, the fun stuff for the kids. The fun thing, too, is the vendors, even themselves, and they got their new products or their big water tanks and – so you kind of get to see it before you buy it, right?
Cool. Yeah.
It's like buying a new vehicle. You want to test drive it.
Not a Carvana.
For you.
I mean, that's so cool.
They just show up. Here, it's yours.
It's yours. Here it is in your driveway. Oops. Yeah. Wrong color.
Yeah, wrong color. Yeah.
You know, so much of the shopping we do anymore is online, and it's just not the same as being able to go out there and look at these products see them demonstrated. I mean, you can't beat that.
And a lot has changed with the you know, online really took off. But
yeah. You know, what I liked about it last year was when I was there, the actual vendor is there. I mean, these guys, this is the guys that run the company.
No, it's the head. Yeah. It's like the head honchos.
The head honcho's there.
I'll turn around and the CEO of Vista's there.
Yeah.
You know, in Federal. And I'm like, oh, cool. Nice to meet you, sir. You have great stuff.
Yeah, really. And you know, it's just an amazing event.
It's a great learning experience, too, you know, for...
Well, I don't know. You know, you started a monster. This is not the only one now. Now they're starting to come around the United States. You hear about these waterfowl days.
Sure.
Yeah, Rogers was the first one on Cutting Edge to start doing this thing. Smart move.
Big. I remember back in the day. Well, you hear stories, right, since the wife's been there forever. And when they did their truckload sale. Oh. It was a literal, which our ad just dropped for that. We call it, you know, the truckload flyer dropped yesterday. Which is for online and in-store, but the stories of an actual, you know, they'd have containers, and they would just, it was a big sale.
40-foot vans just full of duck decoys and pallets and coolers.
Yeah. Coolers.
Coolers.
Oh.
Cheap coolers. They were good.
I remember going down there, and some guys came from Iowa, and they bought a trailer and filled it up with shotgun shells.
Just
loaded it up. I mean, they were serious humans. I buy a case here, there, and yon, and these guys were buying them case after case after case. I got talking to one of them at some duck club. They all combined their money, and they came down there because they can't get it at that price.
It still amazes me how far people come to stay for the weekend. That hotel across from us, right there at the parking lot, it'll be booked full.
Yeah.
Wow. And people fly in, drive across the country from all over for... You know, I mean, it still seems surreal.
Mm-hmm. What's it cost to get in?
That, nothing.
It's free. Go across the lot.
But I expect you to come talk to me because we'd like telling stories, right, as outdoorsmen.
But, you know, you're going to be busy. But what the heck? The guys I talked to were from Council Bluffs.
Yeah.
And they drove all the way down, and I went, okay, you know, this is all right, you know.
Yeah. It's become a destination.
Yeah.
Place, even just during the year.
You know, something else I've noticed too is, especially in waterfowlers, they all like to sit and talk to each other. What are you blowing? What's the deal?
Right.
Why did you do this? Right. Why? How do you set your decoys? What kind of blind are you hunting out of? You know, it's just what kind of waders are you using? You know, and it's an information point, you know, where people can share their knowledge about what's going on in the industry. There's a lot to waterfowling that people just don't understand. They just, you know, I have guys come and, you know, we give away those charity hunts and they come up and just plop down in the blind. Well, they don't understand, you know, what, you know, the decoys are set so-so and then we've got a mallard machine in the corners and we've got all the little bells and whistles and the bubblers that come out when it freezes and things like that.
Right.
Well, they don't care and I don't blame them. You know, they're there to shoot and that's just the way it is on a deal.
I learn every year.
Oh, yeah.
These guys come in, or women, and they're telling me this is, you know, how they do it. And so you take little bits and pieces. And
have you got any 28-gauge ammo?
We do have some 28-gauge in. I believe it's all in lead right now.
Yeah, you know, that's a big deal right now, this 28-gauge thing's coming on with the federal new load.
Right.
You can kill ducks at 60, 70 yards, and people go, what?
And yes, a big one can. Coming up before everything starts is dove season.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
Without wax.
So that's everybody's asking about, because they got to shoot steel now, you know, all these public land places. So we've got it in. If you need some 12-gauge steel shot, I've got sixes and sevens available.
Yeah.
And it might be what I have for the year. I don't, you know.
You don't know.
I mean, it's a guessing game when the ammo's arriving, but we've got it all on order, but I've got some currently, so.
More ammunition is shot during the opening day dove season than all the other hunting seasons combined.
I'm not surprised. Yeah,
I almost hit one year.
Do you go any public, or do you have a spot out at your place, or do you?
What's that?
Do you any public hunting?
Yeah, for that's what now, I go to Bob Brown a lot, and they usually got some sunflowers. But I'll get online. You get online and tell where the sunflowers are. One year we ended up over by Maryville. One year we was over by Osborne. You know, wherever they've got the feed base on a deal. So and it's a slave to Mother Nature. If it's a cold snap, which usually the night before dove season, we had that one blast of cold air. And they put on their pajamas and go down to Mexico or wherever they go.
I tell you what's really catching on is the pigeon hunting.
Yeah.
Final Approach came out with a rock pigeon decoy pack.
I saw it.
And, man, there's a lot of people starting to take that up.
They're hard to hit.
It extends your season, right?
Exactly. Anything to shoot the gun.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to shoot them with my trap gun.
Yeah.
Doesn't get dusty.
Shoot at them with my trap gun.
There you go.
Yeah.
They're weird. You know, you can kind of con them the first time, and the second time they're tougher, and they'll stay wide and work like mallards. And, you know, it's quite an art to the hunting pigeons if you do it right on the deal. So what the hay.
I'll tell you, you know, the event out there at Rogers happens in August, but it just signals to me summer is coming to an end, and we're getting into my favorite time of the year. Right. I just love fall. There's just not a better time to me. And of course, winter with the
dove.
With
the heat this year, summer can't come to an end.
I know,
soon enough.
Right. Yeah.
You were talking about the lawn. I gave up on mine.
Did you?
I'm not going to water every day and keep up with that bill.
Well, I know. Well, the expense. So. Yeah, right. It's not worth it.
Yeah. If you do it right, it's kind of expensive.
Yeah.
It's not a cheap fiasco on the deal.
You know, Mark, I kind of feel like I'm in a Western, good Western movie today. I got Rooster Cogburn Ramsey, and I got the new young gun Patrick Fisher with us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. You don't stand a prayer. You don't stand a prayer. You know, a couple things I want to talk to you about, Patrick, is are you hearing duck numbers like I'm hearing up at North in the Hatch?
I think it's going to be pretty good. I think and I haven't kept up with the numbers too much, but more of what I've seen, at least around here, is just the difference in the flyway.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of shifted.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
I just feel like from when I was a kid till now, it's definitely changed, and I don't see as many numbers. But not based off the hatch, just based off of
the flyway,
their migration.
Yeah. Could be a changing factor, you know, in the climate and all this kind of stuff, because it's such a weird climate anymore. Yeah. You know, one day it's cold, next day it's hot. Heck, they're talking about some pretty cool air coming in, next week?
Bring it.
Yeah, well, I'm ready. Yes. So we'll see, but I'm from Missouri.
Yeah.
Call Lee Zach. Anybody got his number, call him, see what he says. Yeah.
He retired.
Yeah, he did.
Now, here's something that a lot of waterfowlers ought to understand, too. 1,600,000 acres never got planted in North Dakota. It rained up there. So two things about that. One is the old sloughs that were dry for years are now back full. So those ducks can scatter out a little bit more, and they have a survival rate a lot higher. The other thing, too, and I'm going on a limb on this, but, you know, if ducks don't have feed base, if they don't have that corn to eat, they're going to come on down the hill quicker. Mm-hmm. So I kind of look for this season to start off pretty darn good and stay that way pretty well through the end on the deal. Before, you know, you always have that lull. And all of a sudden you got ducks, then you got no ducks, and then you get stale ducks, and then I think the deal will take off on the deal. So we'll see. We'll just see what's happening. Yeah. I another reason I wanted to have you in here was a lot of my friends are not going to Canada duck hunt this year.
Yeah.
They changed some rules and regulations, haven't they?
Yeah. I learned about it, I think it's a couple weeks ago now, maybe a month ago when the press came out on it about not transporting game meat, ducks, geese from Canada to the U.S. And I think they were basing that off the avian flu, which I guess for me, I kind of giggled at it. I'm thinking, well, they fly, so
they're gonna come.
I don't think the transportation of my two ducks breast is gonna, but
yeah, they're gonna fly over the Canadian line.
They're gonna fly over, and then what? I mean,
I think they're going to stop them at the border this
year. Without proper permits.
Well, Trudeau's got that covered.
I just feel for the outfitters and the business that they need up there. They rely a lot on the tourism.
They've had 2 years, haven't they,
of nothing.
Fishing and the outfitters going up there and duck and goose hunting. And I would suspect the numbers would drop a little bit of hunters that go up there if they're not allowed to bring their meat back, right?
I would assume so.
Because we like to eat what we shoot.
Or they're making it more difficult to get your guns over there, too, aren't they?
Well, yeah.
Depends which. I was talking to John Devney about that, and, of course, he drives across almost every day into Canada and takes a gun. There's a form you fill out. And certain places are worse than others, I guess, as far as inspection on the Canadian border. Over toward the Spokane area, Washington, up in there, they're going to cavity search you, allegedly. But up north here, out of North Dakota, going into Saskatchewan, it's not quite as bad. But there is a paper chase on this thing. And I had a buddy of mine that they went last year, and they didn't have the right documentation. So he had to drive back to somewhere and get on his phone and call his secretary, and she ended up sending some more additional information to get into Canada.
Can you carry your ammo from the States over there?
I think the limited amount, I believe. I'm not 100%.
That's a good question.
You might see an influx of hunters, though, in the northern states now.
Yeah.
North Dakota.
Yeah.
You know, you might see more leases taken up there or whatever instead of going across the border.
Just weird.
That
they want to. Why would you want to mess with this?
I don't even know. I don't know why. It's just nature's way of doing its cycle. Anyways, and so.
I got buddies. They used to go moose hunting up there almost every year. They finally quit it, and they said it just got too much of a hassle. They had too much problems on the thing. You know, so they said, "I'm not going."
Yeah.
Not a deal. Yeah. You know, and I talked to a guy the other day. I get a lot of calls, and the guy called me, and he said, I booked somebody up there, and he said, I'm not getting my deposit back. Well, you got to be careful. You know, you got no litigation right, per se. I mean, it'll take you forever to get your money back if you're an unreputable outfitter. So you better do a little homework and see who's good, who isn't good on this thing. So what the heck?
I definitely always do research on an outfitter.
You're darn right.
Don't just pick the first one that pops up and, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's some guys out here that just take your money and give you a horseback ride around the mountain. Mm-hmm. About all it amounts to on the elk, you know, especially on the deer.
Ask questions, talk to locals, whoever.
One of the other things you got coming up, whitetail deer.
Yeah. So this year we decided to do two events in 1 month. So, the stress level, the anxiety level goes up a little bit, but it's all fun. I love it. You know, it's fast-paced, so. That one is August 20th, and we're doing a whitetail extravaganza, whitetail weekend. We'll have a food truck. What's nice is we're going to do a free official deer scoring. Bring your sheds in, bring your mounts in. You could do whitetail. If you have a mule deer, go ahead and bring that in too. Same scoring system. And that's free. And if it makes books, we can get it sent off too for you. So if you want to get in the book.
Cool.
And we'll have a special guest, which is huge. Dustin Huff, the Huff Buck, will be there that day with his mount. He is he just broke the 107-year-old typical whitetail record in the United States. James Jordan held it, and then he
what's
shot
his deer score?
211, and I think it's 4/8, 5/8.
Yeah,
shot
typical.
In Indiana. Typical.
Typical.
The typical 12. So in retrospect, just think of this: Milo Hansen's was a 14.
Mm-hmm.
The world record, his is a 12 and was only within an inch and a half.
Wow.
The mass on it is unbelievable. And he's a great kid.
Yeah,
27. He's a country music artist as well and singer-songwriter.
Really?
He'll be there. He's going to play and tell his story. And
you said he had never seen this?
Never seen it, never even heard about it. Now, of course, the neighbors had known a little bit about it, come to find out. And he's got a great story, so I'm not going to give it all away, but... He never even known about it until the day he got it.
Wow.
Couldn't have happened to a greater.
You got
to
tell what he
said. So he
it
calls
was.
It, yeah. So when he talks to you about it, you know, it's the Huff Buck, but he calls it, a.k.a., you know, Moose, because he's sitting there in his climber, and he looks over, and he goes, the heck's a moose doing in Indiana? And I'm sure it's what you think. You see a brute like that, and you're like, that's not. And then you're like, oh, my gosh, I better get ready to shoot here.
Yeah.
So that's going to be an exciting day. So, we finish up August 6th with Waterfowl Weekend, and then you got a couple weeks to prep and switch everything from decoys to ground blinds.
Uh-huh.
You know,
entry stands, all the stuff, and the deer scent, and all the whole work.
So you're clearing your schedule so you can waterfowl hunt all season, correct?
Is that what's... Yeah. Basically, when August hits, we're full go through Christmas.
Wow.
So I got a trip coming up next year, though. We're going to, me and Dad and my brother are going to Lake Cabdagama in Minnesota, smallmouth fishing.
Oh, cool.
Almost to the border.
Oh, that far north?
Yeah, just south of Rainy Lake.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah.
Wow, how fun.
I can't wait.
Man, smallmouth.
You going in
July? Going during the spawn, June.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, about June 10th.
Wow.
So, yeah. Memorable. But season's coming, like Mark was saying. You know, August, it's just like, all right. Because you start taking inventory.
Mm-hmm.
You go down in the basement, and what do I got? And do I need ammo? And do I need a new set of pants? Or
it's
I usually need a new set of pants because too much the previous year.
Well, you know, I when I walk into Rogers, I need everything in there.
Yeah,
I even wear the women's clothes. They even got some good-looking women's clothes.
Everything. You know.
Youth. What are you laughing about?
Man, women.
That's a visual I don't need.
Got to check it out.
And a skirt, matching top.
Yeah.
All of it.
They don't. Yeah.
No, those legs should be underneath pants.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What if I shave them?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
That's just not a vision.
Double,
I want to
double
get stuck
layer
in my head today.
You guys, what's the matter with you guys?
I would tell you, if you are a waterfowl hunter though, and you've never been in, it's a sight to see how many decoys we have on hand.
Yeah, it is. It
at
really,
one
really
time.
Is. Yeah.
It's pallet racking out on the sales floor. Full of decoys.
Yeah, but that you guys have a warehouse that Steve told me you all were already outgrown, and it's full.
Yeah, we've got a warehouse up at the airport, which is our distribution. You know, there's that'll only work. One Rogers Sporting Goods, but that's our distribution center warehouse.
Yeah. So now are these sale prices available online too?
They will be. So the Waterfowl Weekend ad, that'll be an in-store only, but there are specials online that they will do as well. Some of it might be a little bit different, but like the truckload flyer right now is good to go. And it's like 30, 40 pages.
Has anybody ever inventoried how many fishing rods you've got in that place? You ever just stand back
we
and look at that?
We have more this year than we've ever had in the history
of
Rogers Sporting Goods.
You all are actually getting back to Rogers lures.
There is so much fishing this year. It's unbelievable. If you're missing out, if you like fishing... And you need to come in and check out our rod sales right now.
Mm.
We've got so many rods. We're doing some blowout sales.
Cool.
On some amazing stuff.
So, Tobin?
I need to get up there.
You need a rod, don't you?
You never have enough.
Never have enough.
Never have, not, and tackle, you never have enough tackle either.
Never, ever. There's no way.
If you're a G. Loomis fan, I think we've got more G. Loomis than anybody in the country.
How long is that sale going on?
The rods until we run out.
Oh, really? Wow, cool.
And we're not close to running out.
No. Circuit up there.
Well, I'm just tickled to death to hear that you've got ammunition. You know, that's been such a problem the past 2 years.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And I hate it because, you know, people come in and, no, I hate saying no.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm able to say yes.
Yeah, got this.
I'm a yes man.
Yeah, what the hey. Well, you know, the industry went through a hell of a change, guys. A lot of things just went away we took for granted. Maybe it was good for us in a lot of ways. The only thing I can say about ammunition is I think you're going to have a little culture shock on pricing.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be across the board. So just be prepared. Besides, you know, we're going to have some amazing sales.
Mm-hmm.
But just be prepared when you see some of the decoy prices, some of the new stuff, ammo, you know. It's...
The cheap stuff is gone, basically.
Yeah, it's tough to find now.
It's tough to find.
Hey, Fred, I want to go a different direction. We've only got a couple minutes left in the show. Well, I've known you about 35 years, and you told me you did the neatest thing that you've ever done last weekend.
Yeah.
Could you talk about that a minute?
Yeah, I got to fly on a B-17, guys.
Wow.
It was the most – I spent 2 or 3 hours. We had some weather delay. My dad was a riveter on a B-17 at the Boeing plant in Buffalo, so it was a kind of an emotional thing for me. And he worked on the Norton gun sight, and he got an award for working on that thing. And it was absolutely unbelievable. And when they fire up that engine, it's hilarious. And they turn on the oiler in one engine, you have to get out manually and turn the props.
Really?
Yeah. And then so the cylinders are all even with oil. It was, there was a guy there, one of the gentlemen there was 85 years old, still flew.
No kidding.
And so me and him sat and talked for 30 minutes and told me about the war and what all went on. And one of the things that kind of came to light on mine was the fact that there was more people shot out of the air, killed, than there was on the ground in a European campaign.
I had no idea.
And, boy, it was just an exciting thing for me to get in this airplane. And when it went off, when they fired, there was a lady in there with me, and heard her tell that crew guy, are we okay? Because blue smoke comes back through the cockpit and all that stuff, and it vibrates, and then starts. But just to get up and go and fly around the country in a B-17, I think there's only a handful of them left in the world.
Oh, my gosh.
On the deal, so it's really cool.
How cool.
It was the best 3 or 4 hours of my life. It was just so much fun. I just couldn't say enough. And I was supposed to announce it on the air, and I dropped the ball. So I'm sorry about that, guys. I hope they come back someday. And it would be fun to have those pilots, the older guys, come in here and tell the stories on something.
Wouldn't it? Yeah.
This one guy bombed North Korea. And it was just an exciting time to sit and talk to and he knew every bolt, nut, screw, rivet in that airplane.
I just posted a picture of you on that plane with the pilots.
Oh, unbelievable. Those guys were weird pilots. All pilots are weird. And my kind of people. Patrick, thank you for getting up and coming in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's your podcast again?
Dual Delivery Podcast. Okay. You can listen to it on Spotify or Apple, Google Podcasts.
And what do you think the Chiefs are going to do this year?
I'm going 12-5, finish first in the division.
I like the way you think.
Yep. Denver's, you might see three teams out of the AFC West make the...
Denver scares me, boys.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's going to be a tough division.
Yeah.
Denver scares me. There's no doubt about it. I think they're vastly improved. And everybody's shaking their head, no. Got a great quarterback.
We got a better one.
We do. They got great linebackers.
Well, they're upgrading over Drew Locke.
Drew's a good guy.
I don't think he was a bad quarterback. I think that he just had some bad people around him.
I think he was very adequate. I think he was a C+, B minus quarterback.
It still goes through Arrowhead.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're probably right.
Until it changes, that's...
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big Mizzou fan. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I think they'll have 6 wins, maybe 7. And I'd be just tickled if they got 7 out of the deal. So what the hey, Golly, this hour goes by way too fast.
I appreciate it.
Good luck on your waterfowl days.
Thank you, sir. I'll see you up there.
Yeah, I'll be up there.
Yeah.
I'll leave from here and go up there and just hang out with Kitchen. I'll be up there.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get some fishing rods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come in.
Really. Need rods.
Yeah.
What the hey, can't happen. They always slam the car door anyway. Don't make any difference. Tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. The next time I see ya, I hope I see you in the great outdoors.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.
Tight lock.